Good morning. It's good to see everyone this absolutely gorgeous fall morning. It feels more like Southern California. Welcome, and also welcome to those who may be listening online or from in the parking lot. I am filling in for our dear pastor who has tested positive for COVID, so he's doing well, though it sounds like it's just, of course, the precaution that we have to take. So we definitely will keep him in our prayers and that he'll have a speedy recovery and won't have any long-lasting effects from this nasty stuff. And we just want to join together this morning and take some time from our busy lives and just focus our attention on our Lord and Savior. That's why we're here, and to encourage each other. I would like to just quickly point out a couple things on the back of your bulletin on upcoming events. And I know that I probably won't emphasize all the ones that should be. I'm doing this spur of the moment, so bear with me. But let's see, Mission of the Month is Roy McCoy, who was injured in a motorcycle accident, so that'll be in our fellowship time afterwards, and encourage donations for that. And I think upcoming next Saturday is the annual Fall Bazaar with crafts and baked canned goods and so on, so you're all invited to that, and encouraged to invite friends and family. Let's see, anything else that needs to be
there? I have something.
Go ahead.
For the bazaar, if you are bringing baked goods, you can either put your own price on it, or we have a price sheet, and if it comes in, we will just put whatever price we've decided for the item that you bring in. But we do need some baked goods. If you want to buy a packet of tickets, there's a box back here with the tickets in it. They're $1 a piece, and you can surely do that. And if you have anything to bring that would be collectible for something for a man, that would be appreciated because we have a lot of glassware, but people aren't as interested in glassware as they used to be, so if you want to do that, we will be setting up on Friday at 9 o'clock in the morning. We'll set the tables up, go through whatever we have, and then the bazaar starts at 9 o'clock on Saturday morning. Did I say Saturday morning? Yeah, Saturday. No, we're going to set up on Friday morning at 9 o'clock, and the bazaar is at 9 o'clock Saturday.
Thank you.
Okay, there are, I don't know if you heard that, there are flyers out in the entry that if you want to put some out to advertise, please feel free to do that. Pardon me? Okay. Anything else that should be either didn't make it in the bulletin, should be brought up, or something in there that needs to be emphasized? Great. Well, let's just take a moment, just quiet our hearts and turn our minds and hearts towards the Lord as we prepare to worship.
Good morning. Good to see you all this morning. And please join me in our opening hymn of worship, as seen on the screen, Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing. fount of every gladness, my heart to sing thy grace, streams of mercy never ceasing, call for songs of loudest praise. Teach me some melodious sonnet, sung by flaming tongues above. Praise to worship this morning, we will be reading responsively the Psalm 113. So praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, you his servants. Let the name of the Lord be praised. From the rising of the sun to the place where it sets, the Lord is exalted over all the nations.
His glory in all the heavens.
Who is like the Lord our God?
The one who sits in the throne on high.
Who stoops to look down?
On heavens and the earth.
He raises the poor from the dust.
And lifts the needy from the ash.
He seats them with princes.
With the princes of his people.
He settles the childless woman in her home. Let us pray to the Lord. God among us, we gather in the name of your Son to learn love for one another. Keep our feet from evil paths. Turn our minds to your wisdom and our hearts to the grace you have revealed in your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Our response hymn this morning is My Hope is Built on Nothing Less. And if there are any praise singers who would care to join me up here, come on up now. You can find this in our LBW on page 293 or as seen on the screen.
Thank you.
This part of the service is always a favorite to me because it's a time where I have the opportunity to speak what God says is true about me and to agree with that. And it's refreshing to be able to be honest with each other and with God, isn't it? And not have to pretend that we are something other than what we are, both in ourselves and in Him. So with that in mind, let us join together in our order of confession and forgiveness. In the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Father and Lord, we come to you just as we are, in all of our brokenness, asking for forgiveness. Out of the depths we cry unto you, O Lord, hear our voice. Let your ears be open to the plea for mercy. If you, O Lord, should keep track of sin, who could stand before you? Lord Jesus, hear our prayer. We are caught in sin. The good that we want, we do not do. But we do the evil we do not want. We are broken in what we do and in what we fail to do. Though our sins are like scarlet, make them as white as snow. Restore to us the joy of your salvation. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Paul tells us in Romans 8:1. In him, your forgiveness, your sins are forgiven. He has called you by name, you are his. God's Son has made you free. Amen. Let us join together and confess the Christian faith as is summed up in the ancient Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. In the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
The first reading this Sunday comes from Amos chapter 8. Hear this, you who and do away with the poor of the land, saying, when will the new moon be over that we may sell grain, and the Sabbath be ended that we may market wheat? Skimping on the measure, boosting the price, and cheating with dishonest scales, buying the poor with silver and the needy for a pair of sandals, selling even the sweepings with the wheat. The Lord has sworn by himself, the pride of Jacob, I will never forget anything they have done. The second reading comes from the book of James, chapter 3. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let them show it by their good life, by deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom. But if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder and every evil practice. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial, and sincere. Peacemakers who sow in peace reap a harvest of righteousness. What causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires that battle within you? You desire but do not have, so you kill. You covet but cannot get what you want, so you quarrel and fight. You do not have because you do not ask God. When you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. Submit yourself then to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Come near to God, and he will come near to you. Let's pray. We pray for those in affliction, Almighty God. Hear the prayers of those who turn to you in their time of trial. Be their refuge and strength, and to the glory of your name, their very present help in trouble. Lord, in your mercy. We pray for the harvest, O Lord. As the time of harvest approaches, we give you thanks for your bountiful provisions. We pray for seasonable weather, that under your care the crops may be safely gathered in without damage or loss. Lord, in your mercy. Bless the children of your church, O Lord, that they may walk in grace, grow in the knowledge of your word, and be kept from all danger. Lord, in your mercy. Before I pray the last petition, I would just bring to your attention this insert in our bulletin about the North Central Ethiopian Synod that some members of our Augustana district have been supporting, and it explains some of their trials and there. So let's keep that in mind as we pray this last prayer. We pray for the persecuted church. We ask your mercy, O Lord, for those who are falsely accused, wrongly imprisoned, and martyred for your name. May they gain release, be restored to life, and inspire us by their sacrifice. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer.
Realize I don't always tell you the names of the songs that I'm going to sing at this time, and this one occurred to me. This is from a Christian like rock band I used to really like when I was a kid called Petra, and they did all this kind of rock and cool, I don't know, contemporary Christian music or whatever, and then they came out with this song. It's just the sweetest, kind of coolest song. My dad even really loves this song, and I don't know, it just felt like this had it on my heart today to sing. It's called Don't Let Your Heart Be Hardened. Don't let your heart be hardened. Don't let your love grow cold. May it always stay so childlike. May it never grow too old. Don't let your heart be hardened. May you always know the cure. Keep it broken before Jesus. Keep it thankful, meek, and pure. May it always feel compassion. May it beat as one with God. May it never be contrary. May it never be at odds. May it always be forgiving. May it never know conceit. May it always be encouraged. May it never know defeat. Don't let your heart be hardened. Don't let your love grow cold. May it always stay so childlike. May it never grow too old. Don't let your heart be hardened. May you always know the cure. Keep it broken before Jesus. Keep it thankful, meek, and pure. May your heart always be open, ever satisfied with right. May your heart be filled with courage and be strengthened with all might. Don't let your heart be hardened. May you always know the cure. Keep it broken before Jesus. Keep it thankful, meek, and pure. Let his love rain down upon you, breaking up your fallow ground. Let it loosen all the binding till only tenderness is found. Don't let your heart be hardened. Don't let your love grow cold. May it always stay so childlike. May it never grow too old. Don't let your heart be hardened. May you always know the cure. Keep it broken before Jesus. Keep it thankful, meek, and pure.
Thank you, Amy, for being sensitive to the Lord. excuse me. There's no way that you could have known. I don't know why I'm getting emotional here. There's no way that you could have known how appropriate that song is for the message that I felt the Lord gave me to share with you this morning. And time doesn't seem to make any difference. I just found out Friday that I was going to be sharing this morning, so I have to believe that the Lord's hand is in this. There are two ways, I think, that we as followers of Jesus Christ can become, our hearts can become hardened. And one of them, specifically in regard to what I'm going to share, one of them is that we somehow give up, that because this is true, it doesn't matter that we aren't what we would like to be, and certainly what we believe the Lord would like us to be. And the other is to harden our hearts and just feel like it's hopeless, that there's no way to go on with this. There's no way to deal with this. That sounds ominous, doesn't it? We've all had the experience of being hurt and by other people and hurting other people, especially people that we care about and trust. We've had the experience of disagreeing with someone and finding the conversation going more and more towards animosity and saying things that we regret saying and hold things that we regret hearing and that we have to somehow forgive. And sometimes we wonder, don't we, why can't we just all get along? You know, what is the deal? Why can't we just be loving and forgiving and caring and accept the fact that we all see things differently. We all feel differently about things. Why do we have to get so angry about it and treat each other like we don't, the other person doesn't matter? Parents oftentimes say to their kids when they're in the middle of a fight, "Why can't you guys just get along?" And then we parents go do the same thing, and somehow we don't catch the fact that we're just kind of all the same. After all, if anybody should know how to get along, shouldn't it be us in the church? To know how to love each other, to know how to actually consider the other person above ourselves and to sacrifice for the good of others. Shouldn't that be true of us in the church, of anywhere? And it shouldn't it be true of our homes? The Christian homes shouldn't they be known for being filled with love and respect and gentleness and safety? And yet so often that's not the case. Sometimes we get hurt the most by people in the church and in our homes. And sometimes we hurt others the most that we care about in the church and in our homes. And we wonder, how can this be? If 2020 and 2021 has taught us anything, it should have taught us that we are deeply divided in our opinions, especially in our country. And we can be downright mean to those who think differently and see things differently. We are who are supposed to be gentle and kind and considerate of others before ourselves can be mean and nasty and unforgiving. Humanism says that mankind is basically good and we're getting better, and we can get better still. We can improve ourselves. We can work the goodness out that's in us. Fatalism says that we're getting worse and there's nothing that can be done about it. And I would disagree on both points. More importantly, the Bible disagrees on both points. First, we are not making ourselves better. We can't. Second, we are not getting worse. We're the same as we have always been since the fall of Adam and Eve. We're deeply flawed. But I disagree that there isn't anything that can be done about it. It just can't be done by us. Our brokenness produces all sorts of damage in our lives, and it's not going to get that much better. Here's that possibility of hardening our hearts, isn't it? If it's not going to get any better, then why care? Well, it will get better when God recreates this whole mess. And sin is done away with completely, and all of the effects of sin are done away with completely. And this corruptible takes upon incorruptible. And we become brand new, completely, never having experienced the effects of sin. But until that day, we walk by faith. Much has been written in Christendom in our world today, especially in North America, but across the world, that talks about being strong and victorious who we are in Christ, and the promises of the blessings that are ours in Christ. And all of those are true and all of those are good, but hardly anything is written about the struggle found in our text this morning. It's hardly mentioned even in from the pulpit because it's not pleasant. And we want to hear positive, don't we? And yet, each and every follower of Jesus Christ experiences this text on a daily basis. It is real, it is powerful, and it needs to be acknowledged. Denying it won't make it go away. Denying it actually makes us actually more susceptible to hardening our hearts to it. Our text is found in Romans 7. We actually, in our confession and absolution, we actually quoted some of these verses. Verses 15 through 25 says, "For I do not understand my own actions. For I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing I hate. Now if I do what I do not want, I agree with the law that is good. So now it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells within me. For I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is, in my flesh. For I have the desire to do what is right, but not the ability to carry it out. For I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I keep on doing. Now if I do what I do not want, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. So I find it to be a law that when I want to do right, evil lies close at hand. For I delight in the law of God in my inner being, but I see in my members another law waging war against the law of my mind and making me captive to the law of sin that dwells in my members. Wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, I myself serve the law of God in my mind, but with my flesh I serve the law of sin." If we were to take one step further and read the first verse in chapter 8, Paul would say something so profoundly important to us to remember when dealing with this battle that is encased in the text I just read. And Paul says, "There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ." So as powerful as this battle is that our text is talking about, that each and every follower of Jesus Christ experiences, there's no condemnation in that battle. No condemnation. Can we pray a moment together? Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for your word. Your word doesn't pull any punches. It doesn't hide from the truth. It doesn't deceive us. It tells us the way it is. And thank you, Holy Spirit, that you're here to lead us, to teach us the truth, to lead us into the truth. Help us, Lord, as we look at this battle that we face every day, that we don't get discouraged, but that we're also honest that without you we would be helpless. And I do want to pray for our pastor and lift him before you, Lord, to ask you to encourage him, to strengthen him, to heal him, to restore him, and to bless him. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, isn't that an encouraging text? Paul describes in this text, in agonizing detail, how it really feels to be a follower of Christ sometimes. Verse 18 said it perfectly. I have the desire to do what is right, but not the ability to carry it out. Fact is, no matter how badly we want to do what's right, we frequently end up doing the opposite. Hurt people hurt people. You ever heard that statement? We hurt others, and they hurt us. And often we hold on to the hurt, even though Scripture specifically encourages us to forgive and to let it go. We hurt other people and we try to excuse it sometimes or justify it. And we make promises to ourselves and to God and to others to change, and it doesn't change. And Paul's response in verse 24 to that very thing, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from the body of this death? Life has taught me many things. My 40 years of walking with the Lord have taught me many things. One of them is this, that although promises and commitments have some value, unfortunately have the tragic habit of not being able to follow through with them. And what do we do with that? Do we let our hearts be hardened and decide it doesn't matter? Our failings. This is the biggest problem I have with what most call decision theology. That what we must decide to follow Christ. We must decide to follow Christ. Well, certainly there's an act of our will involved in this exchange. But can I tell you a secret about myself? And I think it's true actually about all of us. If my salvation is dependent on my decisions and my ability to live according to them, I am in real trouble. Constantly. I am in serious trouble. Because I don't follow through. I daily make a decision to be the husband my wife deserves, and I daily fail at that decision. And that's just one. And guess who suffers the most from my failure to follow through on that decision? The person that I want to bless the most is subject to my failures. Wretched man that I am, who will save me from the body of this death? Ultimately, something other than perfect behavior and strong commitments must distinguish the follower of Christ from the rest of mankind. And certainly faith is that. But what does faith really look like? Daily walking through this world. I think the elusive qualities that separate us are faith in God, which is trust in God, love of others, and having a teachable heart. What does that mean, a teachable heart? It means that we acknowledge what we are and who we are, and we're always willing to let God change us in any way he wants. Because we are deeply flawed, but we don't want to be. And we will remain that way until, as I said earlier, God recreates us, recreates this mess that we're in. For the devoted follower of Jesus, this agony is never really very far from the surface, is it? And a lot of times we don't even want to admit how we feel inside until we get in a situation where we can't deny it. And then what do we do? The person I want to be somehow disappears at a moment's notice, and someone else shows up. No amount of promises and determination seem to prevent that from happening. And Paul put it this way in the next chapter of Romans, "For we know that the whole creation has been groaning together in the pains of childbirth up till now, and not only the creation, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies." That groaning within us that we are not what we should be, we are not what we want to be, we are not what we know God wants us to be. That agony is there and is real, and trying to deny it is to deny the truth of what we are and who we are and what He is and what He gives to us freely. Jesus put it this way in John 7, 37 and 38. "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scriptures has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." It is in the very act of recognizing our weakness that we become strong. As Pastor Brad frequently says before communion, coming to the table of the Lord is coming realizing we are unworthy to be there. But the only appropriate response to our unworthiness is to reach out to the one who is worthy and who invites us to come. We must be like the child who stomps their feet and looks us in the eye and says, "I do it myself," and then runs to us immediately when they fail for comfort. We must be that way with our Lord. Not the "I do it myself" part. That seems to come natural. But the running to Him. Because when we fail, we can and should come running to Him, because His arms are always open to us. In Exodus, we were told that the condition to receive God's promises was to be perfect. Today, in the gospel, the condition to receive God's promises is to thirst. The cry of Paul in verse 24 is ours as well, "Who will deliver me from the body of this death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord." Receiving His grace ourselves enables us to extend His grace to others. Others within our families, others within our fellowship, others within our community, others within the world. To offer to them the immense and indescribable joy of following Christ is an invitation to us all, as you who are thirsty, come and drink deeply of the water of His grace. Not because we're perfect, not because we can make ourselves better, quite the opposite, because He is perfect and He invites us to come. As we freely receive, we are able to freely give. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, this is a tough one for us, Lord. You know that. You know how easy it is for us to get discouraged, because we want so desperately to be something different than what we are. Thank you, Lord, that you declare to us there is no condemnation for us in this battle. The battle is real, but we're not condemned because of it. Help us, Lord, to be encouraged by that and strengthened by that, by your grace. Amen. Join together in prayer. Heavenly Father, we have already prayed for our pastor. We also pray for all the others. Lord, there are so many who have been, their lives have been impacted by this disease. Those who have lost loved ones, who have a hole in their heart because of the loss that they have experienced. Those, Lord, who have gotten extremely ill and are still experiencing the effects of the illness. all of the disagreement and all of the animosity that's been generated, Lord, we desperately need you to bring healing to us emotionally, spiritually, physically, for all of those, especially in the medical profession, that are struggling with exhaustion and with discouragement and fear. Lord, we pray for them for protection and to keep them safe. We pray for all who are now experiencing COVID-19 that you would bring healing to them as well. And give our leaders wisdom, Lord, in what to do. Lord, in your mercy. Father, we pray for those who have and are now put their lives on the line, those in the military, those first responders, those who have put their lives out there to protect us, those who have paid the ultimate sacrifice in the families. Lord, we pray for strength and comfort for them and for protection for those who are now sacrificing their safety to protect us. Lord, in your mercy. And finally, Lord, I pray that we who have experienced the grace that you freely give, Lord, that we would be encouraged this morning, that we would be strengthened this morning, that we would not give up, but yet not get discouraged because we keep failing. Thank you, Lord, that you are a God of mercy and of compassion and comfort. Lord, in your mercy. Let us join together and pray the prayer that our Lord Jesus taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen.
Let's invite you to stand. We'll join together in singing the doxology.
Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above the heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost.
Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord lift up his face upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord cause his countenance to be lifted up and give you his grace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Go in peace and serve our gracious Lord.